Today we continue with lesson number 28 in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Shavuos. We'll still be in the 7th Perek, the 6th and 7th Mishnah. Perek Zayin, Mishnah Vov, and Mishnah Zayin. We last learned just yesterday in Mishnah Hey about the situation of a chenveni, a storekeeper who has a written record of his transactions and the conditions under which he is a nishba v'notel. He swears on the basis of what he has written and can extract money from the bal habayis, from the customer. Now, in these next two mishnayos, things get a bit more complex, but we're still dealing with a storekeeper and his dealings with a bal habayis, with a customer. Omar la chenvoni. Abaye says to the chenvoni, the storekeeper, tenli bedinor peros. Give me a dinar's worth of apples. And this is not, as it was in the previous Mishnah, a situation where he's buying on credit. He's paying cash. Vinosan lo. And the chenvoni gives him the peros. And Omar lo. Tenli es adino. The chenveni says, I gave you the peros, you got the dozen apples, give me a dinar. I want the money for the apples which you received. Oh, my lo. So the customer says to the storekeeper, what do you mean? You gave me the fruit. True. I gave you the money. Nisativ loch, I gave you the money, the dinar. Where is it? Unisato on poli. You put it into your cash box. You have a little box. A pushka, you put it into that pushka. Such a case, says the Mishnah, Yishova bal habayis. The customer must swear that he gave the dinar. If he swears he gave the dinar, he can take the peros. Now, where are these peros at the time that this is happening? Are they still on the storekeeper's shelves? Are they in the shopping cart of belonging to the customer, where are they? The Gemara explains something which is very important. We're speaking of a situation where the peros are in the parking lot, in a place which is neither the storekeepers nor the bal habayis, the customers. In the words of the Gemara, the peros are heaped up in the Rishus Horabim, so that neither is in possession of the peros, neither is what's called a muchzok. So in a situation like this, the peros are in no man's land, so to speak. And the chenveni admits that he sold these peros to lokeach. He only is looking for the money for it. So therefore, the lokeach, who only question is, did he pay or did he not pay, he swears that he paid and he takes the peros. But if the peros were in the possession of either the chenveni or the bal habayis, the chenveni still has the peros in his, on his store shelves, or the bal habayis already put the peros into his car, then we say, hamotzi mechavero olavoraya. The person in possession has the benefit of the doubt, and the person who's trying to extract from him must bring proof, so that if the peros were still in the possession of the chenveni, then he would be the muchzok, and he is saying, I never got paid, so he would make a shvuas heses and be potter. If the lokeach is the muchzok in the peros, if the peros are already in the storekeeper's possession, so he would swear that I paid, and he would be off the hook and could keep the peros without paying again. If the chenveni, again, if the peros were in the chenveni's possession, still on the shelves, then the chenveni would swear a shruas heses and would not have to give the customer the peros unless the peros, the customer, would pay the dinar. So, our Mishnah is talking situation where the peros are in no man's land. There is no muchzok. And the chenveni agrees he sold him the peros. He only says, you didn't pay me. So then the bal habayis, the customer, swears, and if he swears I paid him, He paid him, and the chenzni loses. The Mishnah continues. Nosan lo es hadina. Suppose it happened the other way around. The customer plunked down the dinner. He paid. And he says to the chenzni, ten li es haperos, I paid you. Now, give me these apples. Where are these apples? Consistently, these apples are not in the possession of either of them. These apples are in the parking lot, in no man's land, in Rishus HaRabim. So the peros are in no man's land. The dinar has been paid. The mokeach, or balabayas, wants his peros. Omar lo, so the storekeeper says, nisatim loch. I gave you the peros, for holachton letoch beischa, you took them home. The peros which you bought for the dinner which you paid, now I agree that you paid me, those peros that you bought are now back home. You took them in your car. These peros sitting in the parking lot in the Rishus HaRabim, I never sold them to you. Oh, then says the Mishnah, Yishova HaChenveni. Then the Chenveni can swear, must swear. He swears that I already gave the Lokeach the peros, other peros, not the ones here in the Rishus HaRabim parking lot. And the Chenveni gets to keep those peros, because since he doesn't agree that he sold those peros in the parking lot to the Lokeach, so in effect, those peros are still in his Rishus. Not 100%, because he doesn't have full possession of them. He's not a muchzok. They're in Rishus HaRabim. But he has to swear, and when he swears, he is kind of equivalent to a muchzok, and he gets to keep the peros. That's his shvua that he gives, which is nishba. He swears, v'notel, and he takes the peros from the parking lot. The Baal HaBayis, who claims he never got any peros, is out. He does not get it. And the Chenveni gets to keep, it's not getting anything, and the Chenveni gets to keep the dinner. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Now here we get into complexities, but I'm going to follow the approach of Rashi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Shahaperos bi Yodo, Yodo al ho el Yona. So Rashi understands that Rabbi Yehuda is disagreeing with the first part of the Mishnah. And he holds that in the first part of the Mishnah, when the peros were given by the Chenveni to the Baal HaBayis, the only question is, was the money paid? That's the first case in the Mishnah. In such a case, Rabbi Yehuda says that the Baal HaBayis does not have to swear that he paid. Because since he received the peros from the Chenveni, and of that no one's arguing, therefore, Yodo al Hoel Yono, he received the peros, as far as the money, prove to me that you, that I did not pay you. I say I did pay you, I have the peros, you prove to me what you're trying to prove to me. Now, the, that would be Rashi's understanding. Now, the no shvua is necessary, according to Rabbi Yehuda, by the Baal HaBayis. Now, the Mishnah shifts gears and discusses not a storekeeper, but a shulchani. A shulchani is a person, a money changer. He has a table, a shulchan. People come to him with large denominations, $100 bills, and he gives them the change that they need, and of course takes a fee for exchanging it. So suppose, Omar la shulchani, the Baal HaBayis says to the shulchani, ten li bedinor mo'os. I want you to give me a dinar's worth of mo'os. I want you to give me, let's take an example, a dollar's worth of quarters, four quarters. V'nosan lo, and the shulchani gave him the four quarters. But the Baal HaBayis never gave him the dollar. Omar lo, so the chenveni says, okay, I gave you the four quarters, ten li es hadina, give me the dollar bill. Homalo, so the Balabaya says, Nisativloch, I gave you the dollar bill. What did you do with it? You put it in your pushki, you put it in your wallet, you put it in your cash box. Nisato be on poli. In such a situation, Yishova Bal Habayis. The Bal Habayis must swear that he indeed did give the dinar, did give the dollar bill, and he can take the four quarters. But Nosan lo es hadinor, if the Bal Habayis plunked down the dinar to the Shulchani, and now he says, I gave you the dollar. You admit I gave you the dollar. Now give me the four quarters. And these four quarters are analogous to the first case. These four quarters are in Rishus HaRabim. They're not in the Shulchani's possession, on the Shulchani money changer's table. And they're not in the possession of the Bal Habayis. They're somewhere in no man's land. They're, I don't know where. They're on some shelf someplace in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, in no man's land. Then, oh my lo, the Bal Habayis says to the Shulchani, I gave you a dinar, I gave you a dollar bill, you admit that. Now ten li es hamos, give me the most, give me the quarters. Oh my lo, so the Shulchani says, what are you talking about? I gave you the quarters. Nesatim loch, v'hishlachtem l'toch kischa, you threw them into your pocket. And these four quarters that are there on the shelf somewhere, neutral territory, those I never sold to you. I never gave them to you. Those are the four quarters that have come from someplace else. In such a case, Yishova HaShulchani. In such a case, the Shulchani must swear that he indeed did give the four quarters to the Bal Habayis. However, here too, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein derech Shulchani litein isor ad sheyitol dinoro. Alright? Rashi would say, this means that here too, Rabbi Yehuda is cholek on the Reisha. And Rabbi Yehuda says in the Reisha, where the question is not about the four quarters, but about the dollar bill, was the dollar bill ever given or not, in such a case, says Rabbi Yehuda, we don't expect a shvua from the Bal Habayis, as the Tanakhama says. We don't expect that. Why? Because ein derech shulchani li teinisor ad sheyitol dinoro. The shulchani is not going to give change until he first sees a dollar bill. And if he gave the change, and everyone admits that he gave him the change, then there is no way that the shulchani did not take the dollar bill, and therefore the Bal Habayis would not have to swear in the case of the Reisha. I have explained this Mishnah following Rashi, who says that Rabbi Yehuda in both instances, by the Chenveni and by the Shulchani, is referring to the Reisha, to the first case in each half of the Mishnah. But there's a different dynamic between a Chenveni and a Shulchani. And a Shulchani. Because by the peros of the Chenveni, the Mishnah is teaching us that Rabbi Yehuda says that even though a Chenveni gives peros before he receives the money, still Rabbi Yehuda says that the Bal Habayis is Yodo El Ho El Yona. And by the Ma'os of the Shulchani, the Mishnah is teaching you that the Tanakhama says that even though a Shulchani does not give change until he gets the larger denomination bill, still the Tanakhama says that the Shulchani does get to swear and exempt himself, free himself from the claim of the Bal Habayis. That's Mishnah Vov. Mishnah Zayin tells us the following. In the Mishnah Meseches Kisuvos, we have a whole bunch of examples of cases in which the person, the Toveya, the person claiming the money, is Nishba V'Notel, swears on the basis of the Shvua, can extract money from the defendant, from the Nitba. Kishem She'omru, Mishnah says, just as we said, the whole bunch of following cases, the whole list of cases that are about to come up, which are examples of where a shvua, on the basis of a shvua, a person can be no tail, can get money, can win his, or in this case, most cases, her claim. Hapogemes ksuvosa. Woman's married, her husband or her husband's estate owes her, in the case that the marriage dissolves, he dies or divorces her, the money for the ksuva money. 200 zuz, let's say, $200, just as an example. Suppose the woman in the, during the course of the marriage, before divorce or before the husband died, said, I'd like to cash in on the ksuva a little bit. I will be owed if and when the marriage ends before I die, then I will be owed $200. So fine, give me 50 of those dollars today. So she's a pogemes ksuvosa. So now, her husband died, she's coming to the estate, her husband divorced her, she's coming to him, and she says, now I'd like the other 150, I agree that I already took out of the account, so to speak, 50. Now give me the rest. And the husband or the husband's estate says, we already paid you all of it. So then, lo tipora ela bishvua. She cannot collect unless she makes an oath. But if she makes an oath, she can get, in our example, the 150 zuz. Suppose v'eid echod me'ido shehi perua. Suppose she's coming to claim her ksuva money, and one witness says, "No way, you should give her the ksuva money. We know that she already collected," and she says, "I never collected a penny." Lo tipora ela bishvua. She can collect, but she must make a shvua. So she too is a nishba v'notel, or more correctly, grammatically, a nishba'as v'noteles. Similarly, menuchosim mishubodim, if a woman comes to collect her ksuva from properties, real properties, apartment buildings, fields, that her husband sold to someone else. So she's coming to the someone else, the person who bought the fields from her husband, and she's saying, my husband really had no right to sell you those fields because they were mishubod, those fields were obligated to me so that I would be able to eventually collect my ksuva. Or, minichse yisomim, the husband died, and the widow is coming to collect her ksuva from property which her husband left to these orphans, which could be her children or her stepchildren. Lo tipora ela bishvua. Here too, she can only collect from the chosim mishubadim, or from nichse yisomim with a shvua. But if she swears, she can collect. Here too is an example of nishba v'notel. On the basis of an oath, she can win her claim. Similarly, a woman who comes to collect her ksuva from a husband who has flown the coop. He's gone somewhere else across the sea. And she's coming now to the court here locally to extract property that he has here locally, but he himself is not around. Lo tipora elo bishvua. She too must issue an oath in order to collect shelo b'fonov, but when she makes that oath, she can collect nishba v'notel. V'chein, says the Mishnah, ha'yisomim. Just like in all these cases above, the woman collecting kaksuva in these various scenarios, she can only collect with the shvua. The same thing is true of v'chein ha'yisomim lo yiporu elo b'shvua. When yisomim themselves come to collect, and the Gemara explains that here we're speaking of a situation where Yisomim are coming to collect money from other Yisomim. There's a Malva and a Lova. The Malva lent the Lova money, and now the Malva's orphans are coming to collect from the Lova's orphans. Alright. And the Lova's orphans, who are the Nidboim, and to whom these Yisomim, the orphans of the Toveya, is coming to collect money, they say, the defendants say, we don't know whether or not our father paid this debt. Perhaps he did. Perhaps he did. They don't know. Shvua shelo pokadnu abo. So they have to swear. The orphans of the Toveya, the orphans who are making the claim to try to collect, they have to swear. What do they have to swear? Shvua shelo pokad pikdonu abo. We have to swear, they have to swear, our father never told us at the time he died that the documents that I have testifying that I lent money to so-and-so are paid. He never told us that. V'lo omar lanu abba, never in his lifetime did he tell us that these documents were paid. We know he has in his desk a bunch of IOUs that he never collected on. V'shelo motzinu bein shtorosov shel abba, and we never found among his papers any receipt for these IOUs. Sheshtar zeh porua. We never found such a thing. That's the shvua that they, the yesomim of the toveya, the orphans of the lender, would have to make in order to extract money from the orphans of the borrower. To be nishba v'notel. Rav Yochanan ben Broka Omer, afilu nolad habein liacha misasav. Suppose the son can't make such a shvua. Daddy never told me this. He never knew daddy. He was born after daddy died. Hareze nishba. He still swears, not what daddy told him, because daddy died before he was born, but he can swear, I went through daddy's papers, and I see a bunch of IOUs, and no indication that these IOUs were ever paid. Nishba v'notel, he swears and collects. These yesomim swear and collect. Omer Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, im yesh edim, if there are witnesses, she omar ho'av b'shas misoso, that the father said at the time of his death, Shtor ze eno porua. The witnesses say, the father said, the IOU I had here was never paid. Shlomi owes me money, he never paid me. And witnesses heard the father say it on his deathbed. Hu no tale shelo b'shvua. Then the orphan of his father can collect on that shtar without swearing. So says Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. But the Tanakhama would say, even in such a situation, he has to swear. Witnesses heard the father say that he never collected on this shtar. We're concerned of an interesting chashash. We're concerned the father knows he's dying. He wants people to think that his son is rich. So therefore, he said in the presence of Edim, I have IOUs. I have collectible money, millions of dollars, thousands of dollars. My son is a rich guy, has a big Yerusha. So we can't believe him, so to speak. And the yasom, the orphan, has to swear that I examined my father's papers and I found no evidence that this IOU was paid. And then he is nishba v'notel. Complicated, but you must admit, fascinating, fascinating from a human interest point of view and from a lomdisha point of view. Beautiful teachings of this Mishnah. And so we have finished lesson number 28, and with it, the seventh Mishnah of the seventh Perek. Tomorrow, Yitz Hashem, we will finish the seventh Perek. We will study the last part, the eighth Mishnah of the seventh Perek, and begin the eighth and final Mishnah. But for now, we have finished Mishnah 7 of Perek 7, and with it, lesson number 28.